This is Women Behind Wool, a podcast showing you the female face of the Australian wool industry.
The industry is getting better and better every day, every year. What do I love about shearing itself? I love everything about it, really. I like the physical side of it. I love seeing what I've done at the end of every run, you know, when your sheep are getting counted out. And it's a feeling of accomplishment too, really.
I'm Penny Ashby. I'm here with Skye Manson. And Skye, we've got a really exciting guest to share with everyone today.
Her name is Emma Billett, and she is a shearer from, she grew up in Nevertire, and she now works around the Warren area in central west New South Wales. And the story of actually how we found Emma, like, she's just such a gem actually to have found in the first place. But yeah, we've got quite an interesting story, Pen, don't we, of actually how this came to be. We were pretty lucky to get her, to find her.
Yeah, I feel like this is where you used all your journalistic research skills. They really came to the fore, because it was almost, would we say 12 months? I feel like it was sort of mid to late last year when someone gave us the heads up that there was an all-female shearing team. And we tried and tried to track them down, but of course they were working and often out in remote sheds and weren't just sitting at home checking their phone and email and Instagram. And we could not find these girls for love nor money, and had pretty much given up when Emma Billett popped onto our radar.
Yeah, totally. I think it was actually, you're exactly right. When we were recording Women Behind Wool last year in Caroline Spittle's shearing shed, we just kind of got talking to one of the Rouseys, who was a female. And I don't know exactly why I was chatting to her. I think I was, being a bit of an annoying journo and just like, you know, where do you come from? Da, da, da. And then I think I must have said, do you know any female shearing teams? And she says, look, she said to me, oh, I don't know them, but I've heard that there is one around the Forbes area, is what we sort of were chasing initially. And anyway, gave me a number, and 12 months later we tried to track them down, but we didn't have any luck. And then this photo of Emma with Emma shearing with a whole heap of females sort of behind her visibly in the shed came up on our Instagram feed, and we were like, oh, there it is, the elusive all-female shearing team.
Yeah, and I'd say for anyone outside of the industry that is like, why would these girls take a year to find, you know, five women shearers? It used to be so rare to see a female shearer, and obviously we did that fabulous story with Kathy Wendell-Bourne a few weeks ago, because when she was in the sheds in the sort of, I'm just going to say Beatles here in the background. I'm doing my best to keep her quiet, but this is, you know, mum life. So just excuse her if you hear any squeaks. Hey, Beatles. So when Kathy was getting around in the sheds, she would have been one of only a handful in Australia. And nowadays it's becoming more and more common. There's a huge shearer shortage. And I think it's probably that combined with just, you know, the general change in society that women can do what have always been seen as man's jobs, man's work, especially these sort of physical jobs, and more women are getting into it. And it's so fabulous to see, because it's not a thing of women are better or worse at it than men. It's just in any workplace, you need both, because they bring a different set of skills and a different perspective to the job. And it's really interesting to see what those different skills are and how they approach a job differently.
And also the type of women that take on these roles. It's not just stereotypical what you would think a female shearer would be, I don't think. Like, we have them, it's such a delight to see the females come into our shed and there's wool classes and there's rousies. Most often they're rousies, rouseabouts. They're the people that go and pick up the wool after it's been shorn off the sheep. But I even met one girl the other day, we were shearing on a weekend, and she's like, no, I love to do this on my weekends. It's a great workout. They love the physicality of it. And I get to hang out with my boyfriend as well. And it also earns me a bit of extra money. And so, and she was, yeah, she worked for KPMG, I think, in Canberra. It's like she was well-educated, had a brilliant job. And I just thought, oh, that's awesome. I should have got her too. I should have interviewed her on the spot.
Yeah, let's add her to the wish list, the wish list that keeps growing.
Anyway, so here's Emma. Yes. I started by just talking with her about what her days actually look like.
An average day for me, every day for me is early mornings. Early starts, I'm always up before the sun is. And the first thing I do when I get out of bed in the morning is I go and wash my face and I put my dungas on straight away. And
which are what?
My jeans that I shear in. They're called dungarees. I wash my face, I get ready, get dressed for work. I go out, I get my working dogs organised, let out of their cages, they have a bit of a run around, stretch the legs for 15 or 20 minutes, and then I pack my esky and I get in my truck and go to work. Sometimes I could be 15 k's out the road, and then other days I could be 150 k's out the road. Lots of driving and, yeah.
So for a shearer, the day starts at 7:30 normally, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's when we actually kick into gear and we grab our first sheep, is at 7:30.
But what needs to be done before then?
Well, just getting to work, getting organized, you know, we do a few stretches and things like that. You've got to organize all your shearing gear from the night before that you've taken home and ground up, so they've got to go in all their right comb pouches and things like that. You load your handpiece up and you let your stand run for 5 or 10 minutes and oil everything up and have a bit of a chat to your pen mate and your work colleagues and stuff like that. and then, yeah, get ready and hook in.
And so for people that don't know, how does like the day of a shearer, how is it formulated? You shear from 7:30 until when, and then when do you have lunch, and then how does your day sort of end up?
So we shear in 2 hour intervals. So we start at 7:30 and we pull up at 9:30. We have a half an hour smoko. We start back at 10 and then we shear till 12. We have an hour's lunch and we start back at 1, then shear till 3 and then have another half hour break and then shear till 5:30 and go home.
It's such a huge day. Do you, those breaks, what do you do in those breaks? Do you rest and catch up and do you need them, or sometimes are you like, oh, I just want to shear through to get more sheep done?
Oh, no. I don't think I've ever felt like I want to shear through. It's pretty hard after 2 hours of, you know, being bent over and, yeah, working away on a sheep. Some are easy and some aren't. So, you know, the harder ones, yeah, they affect your body differently. Lunchtimes, I wash my combs and cutters up. Usually have a lay down for probably 20 minutes, half an hour if I can get it. And, yeah, you know, like stretch your back and stuff like that. And yeah, sort of rest up. And after lunch, the day seems to go a bit quicker, I think. That extra half an hour helps. Sometimes the smokos go way too quick.
And it's such a physical job. So I'm just so interested to know what draws you to it, because it's so physical and hard work.
I like the physical side of it. I really do enjoy it. But also I do have like a love for wool as well on its own, not just the whole shearing part of it. I do love the fibre itself and the travelling. You know, I've seen a lot of our country, and I've been lucky enough to be able to do it while making a bit of money as well, which I've really enjoyed. I've gone all around Queensland, New South Wales, dipped into Victoria a little bit, and over to South Australia a little bit. I've shown on some really big stations, and I've met a lot of different people too, which is, it's been really good. I think what keeps me coming back every day is just the love for the industry now that I've been a part of it for so long. It almost becomes family, which is pretty awesome, I think.
What's the particulars about what you love about the industry and shearing itself?
The industry is getting better and better every day, every year. You know, more changes are being made to it. What do I love about shearing itself? I love everything about it, really. I like the physical side of it. I love seeing what I've done at the end of every run, you know, when your sheep are getting counted out. Like, I know that that's what I, like, I done that. And it's a feeling of accomplishment too, really.
What's it it's like not actually shearing a sheep? I mean, I've seen it done and you watch them, and do you treat it as like a bit of an art form?
I try to keep the animal as calm as I can, you know. I think everybody does, because obviously, you know, you're working with a live animal and not a tame animal either. The more comfortable the sheep is, the easier it's going to be on us, on the shearer. But in saying that, every sheep is different. There's not one sheep in the world that's the same. There's so many different bloodlines of sheep, the way that their skin feels, the way that their wool feels, the way that their wool comes off their body. It's so different. There's so many different aspects and so many different things involved in sheep and shearing and the wool industry. It's really hard to actually explain.
And when you come across a sheep that has really gorgeous wool, really beautiful, fine merino wool, can you tell straight away? And is it easier to shear?
In my area, So I am based in the Central West, we don't have fine wool sheep in this area. It's just not the right area for them. I have shorn super fine sheep, and they do look a lot different to the sheep that we have out here. They're a lot smaller. They are good shearing on the body, but they're quite tight, because super fine sheep are usually run in cold country. So, you know, places like Walker, Cooma, like places where it snows, Armidale, places like that. And the weather has got a lot to do with how a sheep shears as well. So obviously cold weather, they tighten up a bit, and it makes it a little bit harder to get your shearing gear to enter. But once everything's opened up, so like, you know, your belly's taken off, all your legs, like your points and your neck and everything's open up, and you're on the body, they're beautiful shearing sheep. Whereas out here, we have sort of broader micron sheep out here. They're a lot bigger and heavier, and they're a lot more open in the wool. And with our temperature and our heat that we get out here, just a lot easier to enter your comb into.
Yeah, how interesting. I've never thought about that before, but it makes a lot of sense. How did you get into shearing? Did you ever think as a child that this is what you would do?
I didn't think that I'd ever be a shearer, but I do always remember always loving sheep. I used to love having potty lambs. I used to love doing sheep work. And I think probably because I do have a very strong passion for working dogs. I do have quite a few working dogs. And I think that is a massive part in running sheep and working sheep. So, you know, when I was young, I used to love going over in the sheep yards and watching the dogs work and training dogs and things like that. I remember going into the shed at home. We were doing a mane shear, and one of the shearers asked me if I wanted to have a go on the long blow, and I was like, yeah, I'll try it. And I really liked it. I thought it was really cool.
Could you
and
do it?
And I had a go on the long blow, yeah, and it was that's when you lay the sheep down on its side and then on its back, well, on its back to start off with, and then you gradually roll the sheep over onto its side, and it takes majority of the wool off the sides of the sheep. So your long blow and your last side will remove all of the sheep's wool off its sides and back. But yeah, that's always been something that's stuck in my mind too over the years, the first time I ever held a handpiece in my hand.
And also preceding that, you had spent a lot of time working in the sheds, hadn't you?
Yeah, I was a rouseabout for 3 years roughly before I progressed into shearing. But I got in and gave it a pretty red hot go when I was quite young. I learnt to do everything in the shed. So I could press a bale of wool, I could throw a fleece. I also got my wool classing certificate when I was about 17. I'm a certified wool classer as well. And I had learnt to crutch before I had learnt to shear. So I used to get a pen crutching every now and again, and I used to go home and think I'd done a really, really big hard day's work, and I'd only crutched like 50 sheep for the day. And there was men there crutching like 450, 500 sheep. But, I was certainly learning back then. And
Did you aspire, like when you were working in the sheds and gaining all your skills, you're like, I just want to shear like those guys are?
In the end I did, yeah. Definitely after probably 12 months, 2 years in the sheds, I'd sort of got sick of rousing and wool classing and things like that. And I remember whenever it had come time to shear the rams, I used to drag the rams out for the boys. I think once I had thought that, I could handle dragging a ram out, I sort of felt like it was my time to sort of step in and try and take on shearing, and I felt like I was physically strong enough to do it. I definitely knew that I was mentally strong enough to do it, because I think it's something that you've really got to want to do. You have to love it, because it's a hard job on a good day. If you don't love it, I don't know, it'd be impossible, I think.
And also on the mental piece, what was it like when you did first start shearing, being a female shearer? Were there many girls in the sheds?
No, there was no female shearers. I'd run into one female shearer. She was quite older than me too, in Ningen. Before that, there was hardly any. I never saw with any other females. I would work with other female rouseabouts every now and again. But now, compared to what it was like when I first started at 19, well, I was in the sheds when I was 16, but I started shearing when I was 19. Comparing then to now it's crazy. There's so many young girls taking on shearing now and really just killing it. Like, just really, it's just amazing. And the schools that they have now, they have like the world's best shearers that are now AWI instructors, and they're just getting better and better. The learners that are coming out of that school are going ahead in leaps and bounds, where there was no, I've never been to a shearing school in my life. I learnt in the sheds off, old fellas that had been shearing for 50 years. Yeah.
Did you have respect in the sheds, or was it tough?
I had respect majority of the time. Every now and again, you would run into one of those guys that just thought that women were meant to be in the kitchen and looking after the kids and staying at home. And but that never worried me. I just kept doing my thing. Really, I didn't take on anything negative. Anyway, positives are always good. You can work well off positives. You can build and grow off positives. Negatives are and not good for anyone, really.
When you're in the sheds, did you just put your head down and work, or do you also love the chatter? And are you much of a chatter in the sheds? Is that how you also got your way through?
Yeah, we joke around a fair bit at work, always laughing, always playing jokes on each other and things like that. The banter at work is another thing that I do love. The contractor that I work for now is a very big contractor. So I work with lots of different people weekly. Some people I have never met before. So, you know, it takes a little while to get to know people. You don't want to overstep the mark straight away, but some people are head down, bum up, and they're there to make money, and that's it. And that's cool. That's if that's what they're about, that's fine. But majority of the people I work with, yeah, we have a lot of fun and make money too, so it's good.
For this entire year, Penny and I have been trying to track down this very elusive all-female shearing team. Does one exist?
I don't think there is one. I was a part of one quite a few years ago, actually, a long time ago. And it was brought together by myself and a good friend of mine who is also a female shearer. And it didn't work out, unfortunately. But one of the other girls that was involved in it, she went on and done a bit of a get together, and it was called Ducks on the Pond.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like an old, you know, the old saying of when a woman's approaching a shearing shed. So
to give context for people that might be listening that don't know that, when you can tell the story because you're the shearer.
Yeah. So back in the day when there was no women allowed in a shearing shed, or no women were working in the sheds back then, if a woman was coming over to the shed, and they would yell out "ducks on the pond." So you know, manners, no swearing, all that sort of gentlemanly behaviour was put into play.
They're on notice.
Yes.
So tell me more about Ducks on the Pond. You all ducks on the pond.
Well, we ran into a lot of wet weather, which didn't do us any favours, and we really struggled with work and because it was so wet. But it wasn't what I was wanting. At that time, I didn't want to be a contractor, and I was in the travelling mode back then. I was cruising around a bit, and it's not really what I wanted. And we had a lot of girls that had come together from all over Australia, pretty much. I had one friend come from Western Australia. One came from South Australia, Victoria, New South Wales. Like, we sort of came from everywhere. We worked together for maybe a couple of weeks, I'd say, 2-3 weeks, and just the rain just wouldn't stop raining, and everyone just went their separate ways.
Why did you want to start an all-female shearing team?
I don't really know. I think I just, well, Kat and I at the time just thought, you know, it'd be pretty cool to have full border girls, and, you know, all our wool rollers and our presser and our sheepo and all them would be females, and, you know, it's just something that you don't see every day. It'd be pretty amazing for a farmer to walk into his shearing shed and he'd be the only man in the shed.
How about that? That would be so awesome. So for the shoot that we did for Women's Weekly, well, I wasn't there, but did you have a full board of girls on that day?
We did, yeah, we did. Oh, well, the farmer was the only man in the shed on the day. But we had four female shearers, myself included, and four female shed staff.
Like, isn't that awesome that if you wanted to, you could pull together an all-female shed, basically, yeah. At a moment's notice?
Yeah, it is pretty cool. And it's I think that it's great because I work with so many skilled young women now. They can do everything. They can get a phone call the night before and say, hey, do you want to jump on the stand for a day? and blitz it off 70 or 80 ram lambs or whatever you can handle. And they don't even hesitate. They're like, oh, we would love to. And I just think, yeah, you know, like how good.
So it's good. Awesome. What's the feeling about more females coming into the industry?
You know, I mean, quite often hear a lot of men talk about it on the board, and it is in banter. Some men go, oh, geez, you know, I was working with this girl the other day and, you know, I bloody worked so hard and she ended up getting around me for the day and, you know, like they hate it. But they love it. You know, there's lots of good things are always said about it.
For you, what are you working towards as a shearer, and how many sheep, what's a good day look like for you?
It's so hard to, you know, to pick a number because, you know, at the moment it's been a bloody cracking season for 2 years. We've come out of a 4-year drought and it hasn't stopped raining for 2 years, which is great. But obviously, you know, the sheep are triple the size they were. Everything's fit and fat and healthy, which is great to see. I've been handling some massive sheep, 80, 90, 100 kilo ewes. Mm. So that slows you down a little bit. And, you know, everything being so healthy, they've just got a lot of kick in them, I guess, a lot of life in them. But on a good day, if everything's going sweet and the sheep are sitting well and they're shearing well, you know, if I probably average, you know, 35, 40 a run. So that's, you know, 150, 160 sheep. That's on a pretty good day. On an average day, you know, you'd be probably looking at like 120, 130 around that mark.
And is that the holy grail for you, that you're trying to shear as many as you possibly can, or what are you working towards?
I really like to see all of my sheep down the chute looking the same. You know, I don't really care about what I shear now, like my numbers. I mean, obviously it's good to, the more you shear, the more you get paid, but it's not a big thing for me anymore. I shore a lot more sheep when I was younger and, you know, my body was fresh. But you know, I strive towards making them look as perfect as they can. I like them all to look the same, nice and neat, not many cuts, keeping your fleece intact as well when you're shearing, so it's not cut to pieces, running your blows nice and smoothly and filling your comb up and all that sort of stuff.
It is, as you've alluded to, it's physical into work as a shearer and can be tricky, dirty, long days, lots of banter in the shed. So when you see new women kind of coming into the scene, do you see yourself as a bit of a mentor?
I try to be. I've actually got a really good friend of mine who she's just started shearing. She's been shearing for probably a year and a half now, and she has she's just moved into home. She's probably been living with me for maybe not quite 12 months, you know, just helping her out. I gave her, you know, somewhere to stay. I helped her with her gear and like just learning little things, you know, getting your grinder set up right and different combs for different sheep and lots of just little things like that. And it's really good to see that, you know, like it's paid off because she's just going so good now, and it's so good to see because, you know, I work with her quite often and she's only a tiny little thing, but she's got the biggest heart and she wants to do it, and she will do it. She'll go all the way. I don't have a doubt in the world.
Did you have someone like that?
No, not really. There was no other girls around, really, when I first started. I did want to do it to prove a point at the time. You know, there was a lot of people, you know, a few men that I had worked with that thought, oh, you know, you won't last. It's too hard. You won't do it. And yeah, they were wrong.
I'm still here.
Still here.
So how did you learn all the little tricks of the trade and those kind of things? Purely by observation and trial and error yourself?
Yeah, observation was a big one. I did a lot of sitting back and watching, and I've done a lot of listening. But I was pretty lucky. There's a really, really good shearer from Warren by the name of Robert Wilson, and he taught me a fair bit. I suppose at the time maybe he probably didn't know that he was teaching me a lot, but I watched him a lot at work, and I did used to say, you know, I want to be just like you, Bob, because he is one of the best shearers I've ever seen, and he is just a tough man. I'm very lucky. I go out and shear his sheep for him every year. I try to get out there and give him a hand. He's 74 or 5 now, and he still does the odd day shearing. At 75 years of age, he'd go and punch 150 out.
No, that's crazy. No.
He's one of a kind, old Bobby boy. He's he played a big part in my up and coming shearing career, which is close to my heart.
How long do you think you can? You're 32 now. What do you, what's the realistic thing for people that are listening to this have no idea about cheering?
Everybody's body is different. Everybody treats their bodies different too. I think, you know, you have to look after your body. You really do. If you eat well and you look after your body and you do your stretches and try and keep mobile and fit outside of work, I think you will surprise yourself and go a bit longer. I don't have injuries, but I am starting to, you know, feel aches and pains where I didn't before. Every day, all day, every day, just repetitive motions pretty much. Things wear out after a while. I would like to think that I'd be still shearing when I'm 40. Mm-hmm. I would really like to still be shearing when I'm 40.
I'll check back in maybe. 8 years time. Tell me about your doggos. You said you've got heaps. How many have you got?
My dogs are, everybody that knows me knows. I love my dogs. I have 7 dogs. 7. And I have a very mixed crew, and I love them all the same. I have two working dogs, Boss and Sugar, and they Boss is a red male that I bred myself, Boss is a little champion. He's 3 years old. I never thought that I would get a dog as good as old Red, and then I got Boss, and he's his father all over, which is really good for me, because it's just like having the old fella still around. Mm-hmm. Sugar is a red and tan little bitch, and she is just the spark in our team. Everybody loves a bit of Sugar. She's very happy. She's always happy to go to work. And whenever I take her in and work her, she just can't take her eyes off me. She's a very special little dog. And then I have Kiss, who is a pure wirehead Smithfield. And she is my guard dog for my vehicle and me and for the backyard also. She's a very good little guard dog. And then I have my two old retired hunting dogs, and they are mother and son. They just kick around. They're old. One's 15 and one's 9. And then I have a a tricolored border collie kelpie called Pie, and she is she's a working dog, but she works cattle and goats. She's not a sheepdog. Yeah, and my two old retired ones are their names Spunk and Beast. And Spunk is a very special as well. She's been with me for 15 years.
Wow.
And she's travelled everywhere I have gone. She has been right there with me. Yeah, she's a very special dog as well. And then I have a long-haired sausage dog.
Oh.
And and his name is Chaffy.
Does he go to the sheds?
He does. He does go to the sheds. He thinks, yeah, this is Chaffy's world. We're just living in it. Yeah, every yeah, he's a bit of a crowd favourite too at work. Everyone loves Chaffy and Sugar. Yeah, he's a good little dog. He's a little companion. He sits up in the front of the ute and barks at the kangaroos and sleeps and goes in the catching pen and barks at the sheep and gets scared when they start running on the grating. But yeah, that's my mob.
Oh, I love it. Your crew. Does anybody else, is there anybody else in your family that shears?
No. My dad done a little bit of shearing when he was younger, but nobody is shearing now, just me. But I do have two younger sisters, Diana and Rebecca is, but they're both really heavily involved in the agricultural side of things. They both studied at Armidale Uni. Diana is actually an agronomist for elders, and her partner Matt is a stock and station agent for elders and a bloody good auctioneer. very good pair together. They're going to go a long way, and I'm super proud of them. And Rebecca, she's our little superstar. She won a lot of scholarships to go overseas and study at Kansas State Uni, and then she was going to stay over there ranching for a little while. But COVID sort of stopped all that for a bit. But yeah, she's amazing, Rebecca. She's very smart. She's vet nursing at the moment, and also working on Mum and Dad's farm as well in her downtime. But Rebecca can do anything she puts her mind to. Another one that's going to go a long way.
But they can't shear like Emma Billett.
No, I used to say to them all the time, if you don't bloody go to school and if you don't go to uni, this is where you're going to end up. They used to come out to work with me in school holidays and I'd be like, hey, do you want to shear one? And they're like, no. Oh, well, make sure you keep going to school, or you know what's going to happen.
So if there's no shearers in your family, then what did your mum and dad think of you being in the sheds full time?
My mum and dad were so supportive all the way through. They gave me nothing but encouragement and love and praise. Not all the time, but, Dad always used to say, you need to give credit where credit's due. And, when I would reach a milestone or anything like that, or, even if I just had a really hard day or a really good day, they're just always there for me. And they always, Dad always told us that we could do anything a man could do. Yeah, there's only three girls. He never made us do anything that we didn't want to do, but, he would always make us have a crack at it. And we always sort of succeeded, I guess, and that comes down to guidance. It's just such a massive thing for anyone, for a learner. You can do anything if you try hard enough. You just got to keep at it. And everybody needs support. Support's a massive thing when it's really hard and you don't think you could shear another one, but that's where the love and the encouragement and all of that comes into play when you start thinking about those things and, you know, thinking about all the people that you've got behind you. And yeah, it's special.
Does that happen to you often when you're shearing that you, have to dig that deep to sort of keep going when you have tough times?
Yeah.
Does it?
Every day is a tough day, but, you know, every day is different. And some days you've got to dig deep. It's hard when you hit the wall and you don't think you can get over it, but you do. And that's just a bit of hard work, I think, and a bit of determination, a bit of grit. You just push through that pain barrier and not just physically either. I really do believe that, you know, your body can withstand anything. It's your mind you've got to convince.
Well, I've so loved chatting to you. It's thank you, Emma. And I look forward to just following your journey a bit. I hope I can somehow. I don't know how that would happen, but I hope you get to 40 and further. Maybe 74, yeah. Like old Bob.
Oh, I don't think I'm as tough as old Bob, but I'll tell you what, it'd be good if I could.
Well, thanks for taking the time to come on Women Behind Wall. We've loved it.
No, that's not a worry at all. Thank you for giving me your time and for chatting with me. It's been awesome.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Women Behind Wool. And if you are curious in any way as to what Emma looks like, you can actually see her in action with some other females in the shed in this month's edition of Australian's Women's Weekly, which went on sale last week. It's on sale now wherever you buy your magazines. There's some awesome photos taken by Clancy Payne as a part of a wider article which is exploring women in the Australian wool industry. We're so excited to be able to share this with you guys now and also to have taken part in it. So check it out, Australian Women's Weekly. And if you can't see it there, then just follow along on our Instagram account, Women Behind Wool, and we'll show you a little bit more about Emma and her life as a shearer.